You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network.
Good morning, Waterloo Region. It is Monday, the 15th of February. My name is Bob Jonklin. You're listening to CKMS Community Connections. Got a show with a couple of interviews for you today. DJs Val Shear and Rob Kerwain from CKMS are going to talk about broadcast courses and the markets available for broadcast people in radio. Is radio obsolete, or is it all just internet stuff? We're listening to DJ Liquid Native from Waterloo. This is called Air Between Your Ears. DJ Liquid Native from Waterloo. You're listening to CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. I have on the web conference with me Rob Kerwain and Val Shear. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
You've been with CKMS for about a year each now, haven't you?
Yep, I'd say so.
Yeah. It's coming up on a year, yeah.
So introduce yourselves. What shows do you do? What brings you to CKMS? What's it all about? Val.
So I have the Eclectic Garage here on CKMS. It's basically your average radio show that I try to package to fit on a community radio station. I play a lot of music from different eras and different genres.
And you, Rob?
Well, I host a show called Rob's Rewind, where I play a lot of music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. Usually, sometimes, there's a lot of songs that you've never heard of, but I do like playing the hits as well. And give me some information about, the making of the songs and some fun facts that you may not know.
Oh, okay. So, what kind of tracks? Such as?
Let's see. Tom Petty, Ron. Oh, I'm just trying to think what I played on the last show there.
Happily, both of you post your music lists on the website, radiowaterloo.ca, so you can check the website every Monday or Sunday after your show is done and see what tracks you've played that day. But you're not doing your show anymore. You've put yourself on hiatus. It's from the archives now.
Yeah, that is correct. But just because they're out of the archives doesn't mean that they're old, and it doesn't mean that they're any less entertaining.
Yes, music lasts forever.
Agreed.
Also on the line with us is Jeff Steger, the program coordinator for CKMS, determines what goes on the schedule, what programs get played, and everything like that. Not sure he's with us at the moment, but we'll speak with Jeff later. So both of you guys, Rob and Val, you're the most professional DJs that we have here at CKMS.
Professional, yes, that's right.
Well, you've guys got the background, you've got the training, you've got the voices.
Well, thank you.
Well, I've got the face.
We all have a face for radio.
If I had a nickel. Every time I've heard that.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this? How long have you been thinking about doing radio? Has it always been with you? Is it a bug that struck early? Or how long has it been going on?
I'll take this one first. I've always been interested in radio from a young age. I grew up listening to one of the local radio stations, calling in all the time, almost kind of making a name for myself. They'd always know it was me when I called in, or maybe they just had caller ID. I don't know. But in school, I had a lot of fun, doing mainly audio projects, but some video as well. But as soon as I got into college, I realized more and more that I wanted to steer clear of the camera, kind of, and go more behind the mic, and again, face for radio. but I would say I've always had an appreciation for it. I never really thought about the career opportunities, like where it could lead. It was more about doing something that I loved and continue to love doing.
And has it panned out for you?
It's on its way. I've been in the industry for about 4 years now. I believe it was June of 2016 when I first got in, climbing the way up the ladder. And I've no intention of stopping. I want to see how far this will go. So I'd say it's panned out. Like life, it's had its ups and downs. But I like where I am right now.
Yeah, good. And how about you, Val? How long have you been at this?
So I got my start working at CJCS as a board op. It was just a second job to, earn some extra money. I did have some interest in radio before I got in there, which is why I even took the job. At the time, I was working at Fessel Hydro as an IT technician. And a couple years ago, I got tired of being an IT technician. I actually got fired from a job and went, it's time for a change. So I registered at Fanshawe, and after a year break, personal issues, I'm back. Unfortunately, I'm still first year, but second semester first year there, so, yeah. Ooh.
And how do you go about getting into a program like that, Val? What programs are you in? Tell me where you're at.
So I'm at Fanshawe. I'm in their radio broadcasting program.
And Rob, how about you?
I was in Niagara College in Welland, and I was part of the Broadcasting, Radio, Television, and Film program. And to my knowledge, it's one of the few that encompasses all three within the first year. So within, I believe it was 2013 I started, within those first two semesters, you were studying radio, television, and film all at the same time. And for the next 2 years of your program, you would decide right at the end of that first year where you wanted to splinter off to, and you had either film production, television production, or radio and TV presentation, and that's the one that I went for, but ended up leaning more towards the radio side at the end of it. Knock to knock, television presentation, but definitely more of a behind the mic kind of guy.
And what is it you actually learn? What comes out of the course? What do you get out of it?
Well, let me think about that for a second. Well, they throw you right into it, honestly. They have, at Niagara, they have about a half a dozen different studios that you can learn out of. They stick you right behind the board, teach you how to use the board, how to use the mic, able to record audio, and sometimes record video with the sun. Sometimes, if you're doing something like we're doing right now, video and audio, learning cues, learning how to hit those posts, and posts are, you know, being able to talk over the music of a song before the singer actually starts. And if you're able to hit a post just right, it's a beautiful thing.
Yes. I tried to do that at the beginning of this show. Not always successfully, though.
No, sometimes they get marked wrong, or sometimes your words get away from you, you stumble a bit, you lose a couple of seconds, but you keep on pushing forward.
And Val, what are you doing at Fanshawe?
So right now, we're basically doing production, talk class, which, I'm not really into the talk, but, you know, it's nothing against the professor, it's just I'm more of a music kind of guy. Yeah, it's just pretty much typical stuff. We do have one class that's video. It's just really half of the class, really. Yeah. So it's basically all virtual right now as well.
Yeah. What do you see yourself doing once you've got your degree? What's in the future? Where do you see yourself going?
So I'm hoping to get an announcing job, but I'd be happy, you know, in production as well. I'm actually pretty good at it with my show, The Eclectic Garage. It's all done in Adobe Audition.
Okay.
And yeah, it's help my skills in that area anyway.
And Rob, how do you... Let's talk about production for a couple of minutes. What sort of production equipment do you have? I see you've got this fancy mic with a pop screen there, Val.
Yeah, myself, I've got the Blue Yeti microphone that I've had for goodness knows how many years. But I've only just recently gotten the arm that attaches to my desk, so I don't have to constantly pick up the mic, move it out of the way, and move it back. As far as production goes, I've got kind of the same setup as Val was talking about. You know, I've got Adobe Audition, which I use for all my stuff. And if need be, you can take it back a step and use a program like Audacity, which is what I started to learn in high school. But then once I found out about Adobe Audition when I got into college, I really only use Audacity for emergencies now. Not to knock Audacity, but just think Audition gives you a bit more freedom to make your audio the best that it can be.
Okay. Filters and such in Audacity don't do it for you?
Yeah, no, it's just feel like there's more options with Audition. Audacity is great if you're starting out, but if you really want, I think it's like more of a professional sound, just my personal opinion, I would go with Audition.
Okay. What sort of equipment have you got there? We were talking about the pop filter earlier.
So basically I just have the mic, which is an Audio Technique AT2035 and a Behringer UM2 interface.
Okay. And what do you do for post-production work?
It's all in, I was about to say Photoshop, which I do a lot of Photoshop work. It's all in Audition.
Okay.
So basically I'll just put everything into a multi-track, do my voiceover, and then it's really easy to nail the post doing it that way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at the shuffling tracks around. So, you know, you can talk all you want and then just move the track to where it's the right spot to end. I've done
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Yeah, I can make myself sound like a genius.
Yeah, yeah. So having done the production, what sort of equipment do the schools offer?
So at Fanshawe, they've got state-of-the-art Wheatstone boards that are worth more than pretty much every car I've owned. Like, every car. Like, I think they're about $30,000 each or something like that. They're really expensive. Right. They're all digital. And then, basically, they have mini computers for production, which is kind of annoying. Because, you know, to be honest, I think they're underpowered, but they do mostly work.
So when you say mini computers, you're talking about VAXIS, VMS systems, IBM AIX, or are you talking about single board computers like Raspberry Pis?
Oh, nothing like that. I mean, like small form factor, like they're Dells, but they're like the same size as those small Lenovos.
Okay. Okay. So essentially desktop computers in small cases, small footprints.
Exactly.
Okay. Rob, what have you got at Niagara?
Well, in the radio lab, we had about a dozen computers set up back in the radio lab, all running Windows, all running all Adobe, in the studios, the same. And we had the Wheatstone boards as well. And let me tell you, sitting down for the first time, looking at a board, so many knobs, so many sliders, you were really hoping that you weren't going to accidentally spill anything. And that was one of the golden rules. It's like, yes. you can eat in the little newsroom section, but you're not taking food or drink or anything but water into the studio itself. And they had the same for the fishbowl as well. And very quickly, the fishbowl is what we called our own little studio, which was set right in the middle of the college where second and third years would go and do their radio labs. And they had, you know, like one computer for their levels. They had one computer over here for their, you know, checking out the playlists and making sure they hit their posts all right. And it was daunting, to say the least. But once you were in there often enough, you really got the hang of it.
Yeah, just showed off my cup of coffee there. You can see that. The rules aren't being followed here at CKMS North. And just as a quick comparison, so you've got all the fancy gear in the colleges. You're not using that level of equipment in your own home studios, and certainly CKMS doesn't even come close to having any of that either. How transferable are the skills you've learned?
I'd say they're fairly transferable because no matter how advanced the board is, it's still an audio board. They still work the same way. You just can't do the same stuff. Like on the Wheatstones at Fanshawe, you can change your inputs just by hitting a button.
But on a home system, you need to repatch cables. You need to set things up differently, you know, run different software to do different things. Is that sort of the big difference between having a dedicated hardware setup?
I'd say so. My little interface is just a USB one, and then my mic plugs into that.
Okay. I know that I spent a lot of time the last couple of days just getting everything hooked up, and as you could tell from the start of the show, I still didn't have it all quite right. Bit of echo on my end. I had too many inputs open, feeding back onto myself. Yeah, so dedicated equipment is probably really, really useful, and I guess that's where you want to get the professional studio. I wonder how much of that is happening industry-wide. Now that we've got the COVIDs upon us, how many radio stations are still operating out of their studios? Radio is considered an essential service, so they're allowed to continue to operate. But does that actually happen in practice?
I know 98.1 Blair and RV, they're in the studio in the morning. I don't know about anybody else right now, except for Kevin Fell on Juice FM. He's broadcasting from home.
Broadcasting from home, okay.
I can speak for Brantford's radio stations, CKPC, AM, FM, and CFWC. The majority of people are working from home, but honestly, you wouldn't really know apart from every now and then the audio might sound a little different. I know the morning guys are in at the moment, but everyone else is under the order that if you can work from home, you're going to be working from home. So it's strange to walk around the studios and hear voices. And, you know, I mean, hear radio voices.
Right, right.
But it's strange to walk into the studio. You hear somebody talking and nobody's there.
Right. These professional broadcasters in the commercial stations, would they be supplied with equipment from the station, or do they have to do like you and I and cobble together a spare computer and a Behringer audio board to make things work?
No, if they had the equipment ahead of time, when I was told, if you have the ability to work from home, go work from home, I was asked, do you have the equipment necessary? Do you have a program like Audition? Do you have a microphone? Do you have a computer that's going to be able to handle it all? And some people don't. So we were able to get microphones specifically out to our announcers. And big kudos to the IT departments. They were a massive help. But apart from that, setting up the mics as well as setting up remote connections to the studios themselves so that if need be, you can... you'll have access to all the playlists and able to toss in voice tracks, because some people don't realize sometimes that when it comes to radio, not everything is live. People could be recording voice tracks 5-10 minutes before they play. They could be recording them a day or two in advance, which really comes in handy if you have multiple stations to work for. Just being able to have that connection and the equipment given and provided to make sure that you have the best show possible is really a godsend.
Have a quick chat about the large cross-continent radio stations, the ones that are networked. I've heard that Chorus, Clear Channel, they generally have one or two broadcast stations that provide feeds to hundreds of different actual radio stations. And you've got one announcer possibly doing the stings, the introductions, announcements, which sound local. They're all coming from a central source. Is that the sort of thing that is happening in commercial broadcast?
For example, like personally, I work for the Evanoff Radio Group, and we have a few people who will work on different IDs, different stings. And while they'll, like you said, while they'll sound local, mentioning local cities, they could be done by... But let's say Brantford, for instance. They could sound like they're saying Brantford, Kitchener, Waterloo, Oakville. They could be done by someone out of Winnipeg.
Right.
And you would never know. Going back to what you were saying before, like one person doing it for all the stations. I know some stations do that as well with announcers. They'll have one announcer doing the same show for 6 different stations.
And local stings in between.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm going to switch over to a bit of music. And then when we return, let's talk about community radio and how that differs from commercial radio. I'm going to listen to something by Duff Thompson. Duff Thompson is, I think, a local musician. Wrote to the station a while back, said, please listen to our music, and if you like it, play it. And we liked it, so we're going to play it. Duff Thompson, this is called Sleight of Hand.
Set myself on fire. Don't you like the way I love you, babe? Call me in the morning and I'm on my way. But have I lost my way? I'm kicking the same old stone again. Hang me on a wire till I don't know when. Let me lay one night. Forget about tomorrow till it comes, I do. Yesterday's coming and it don't like you. Am I dreaming? Don't you lie? I love you, babe. Don't you like the way I love you, babe? I hard to defend my claim. And there ain't nothing that'll stick the same against my will. I'm kicking the same old stone again. Baby, let me love you till I don't know when. Baby, let me love you till I don't.
Duff Thompson from Waterloo Region, new music to Radio Waterloo. We have in a web conference Rob Kerwane and Val Shear, professional radio broadcasters. We're working here at CKMSFM, a community radio station. How does community radio differ from what you were learning in a commercial radio broadcasting course?
Well, it's definitely a little different. It's going to be a little different for me because I'm technically in Hamilton, but I'm still broadcasting with CKMS. So I've been in the studio a couple of times before, but haven't had that opportunity to continuously broadcast from CKMS specifically. But well, I would say the one major difference is having so many shows and so many people involved in the announcing that makes any kind of sense. With radio, you'll have different shows, of course, but you'll have different announcers. You have your morning, your middays, your afternoons, evening hosts, and mm-hmm. you know, people for the weekends. But with CKMS, you have a different show maybe every hour, or yeah. every couple of hours, maybe every 6 hours. I think I saw one show on the schedule at one point that goes on for a while. Yeah.
That's Bassam Awad's show called the Mazaj Show, the Arabic language show Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons from 2 till 8 p.m. The longest duration show on our schedule, 6 hours.
It's a good show. We recommend listening to it.
Yeah, yeah. Really well produced. I'm not quite sure how he does it, but he's got a really good setup for producing a slick-sounding show. How about you, Val? What do you think about the difference between community radio and professional broadcast stuff, commercial broadcast stuff?
So there's definitely more of a freedom to do your own show, whereas professional or commercial stations, rather, they're very homogenized, I find.
Yeah. One of the mandates for community radio is to provide alternative programming. So the things that you don't hear on commercial radio. So foreign language programming, special interest programming, lots of Canadian content, local talent, all those things that don't necessarily make it to mainstream. And the two of you have done an admirable job of providing some of that alternative content. You know, there might be the odd oldie station here and there, but that's all they play. There's no variety in their offerings either. It's all oldies or all country or all sports in some cases, all comedy in some cases.
No, that's what I've liked about CKMS. It was the variety. And you can look through the schedule at radiowaterloo.ca and you can see just how many shows are a part of this great station. Mm-hmm. And I was going to use the word daunting again, but I feel like that's just becoming my crutch word. But it's it's admirable and it's incredible. And I love it. I can tune in at any point in the day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hear something that I'm not going to hear on any other station. I mean, like the music that we just heard, like it's, I would say it's exclusive to CKMS, and you're not going to hear that anywhere else. And that's what makes it unique.
Yeah. Don't want to chase you away from CKMS or anything, but Hamilton has a pretty good campus community station, CFMU. It's actually where I got my feet wet back in my university days. That's where I first got into radio. I was doing AV stuff already. You know, I was into audio and whatnot, so it's a natural progression. The first thing they had me do was type up the CRTC logs, you know, so I ended up doing clerical work at CFMU for, oh, probably 3 or 4 months. That was my first taste of real radio. And, you know, then I was away for about a few decades, shall we say, came back to CKMS and haven't regretted it since. There's as much involvement in community radio as you want to put in. You know, if you just want to do your hour show and be gone, you know, that's fine, but there are so many other jobs that need to be done. The programming committee, for example, to decide what goes on the schedule, to provide the training for new DJs who don't have the luxury of getting formal education in broadcasting. What else do we do? Acquire the new music. You know, we have a list that musicians can send pitches to. If they have music that they want to have aired, you know, send it to office@radiowaterloo.ca. And the music committee, the programming committee, will pick that up and put it on our in our digital library. There's another thing, curating the library, you know, making sure that all the tracks are on there, that you don't get the duplicate tracks, that the tracks are high quality. You know, lots of stuff to be done in community radio. So come join us. Check us out, radiowaterloo.ca. Send us an email, office@radiowaterloo, or even send it directly to the programming committee if you're interested in doing a show. There's a start a show button, and anybody who has an idea for something that they want to have broadcast to the community at large, click on start a show, fill in the form, and come join the station.
Mm-hmm. If I may interject, it really is an easy process. You know, it had literally sent an email, sent a request in to office@radiowaterloo.ca that, hey, this is my name. This is what I want the show to be called. This is my idea. This is how I want it to go. And I heard back within a week and said, all right, this is, here you go. This is, yeah, you know, something we could use. What do you want to do for a time slot? And I won't give too much away, but you know, if you really want to experience it, feel free to start your own show. It's a great opportunity to get your voice heard and to be part of the community.
So how does it compare to what you're being taught in broadcast courses? Val, if you've been going through the course, is any of it applicable to what you do at CKMS?
Oh, definitely. Technically speaking, our two radio stations are community radio stations at Fanshawe.
Oh, so you've got campus radio strictly for the broadcast course.
Yep, exactly. We have an online-only station, CFRL, as well as 106.9 EX.
Ah, okay. Good. Have to put those on my my listening list. I've got this whole list of campus and community stations that I browse around and I'm not listening to CKMS itself. How about the reverse? How does working at CKMS help with commercial broadcasting? Is there any parallel at all? Is there any use in coming to CKMS to understand how commercial broadcasting might work? Or is it so completely different that you'll never compare the two?
I'd say they're fairly comparable. Having the opportunity to work and do my thing at CKMS has enabled me to hone my craft a bit, not just in a production way, you know, just putting the show together, hitting the posts and making it sound as retro and informative as possible, but coming up with the bits and voicing them, making it sound comfortable. And it's helped a lot. You know, I don't sound the same on air now that I did in the very first show.
It's helped hone your craft then.
It really has. Yeah. It really has.
And I see you nodding there, Val.
Yeah, it definitely has. I've also noticed an improvement from my first show to what I'm doing now. And it's helped me not get as rusty as I would have had I not started the show.
Right. Right. You can apply the things that you've learned that you expect to be using in commercial ventures. Keep the wheels oiled by practicing at CKMS.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I have a question for the two of you. You've got the radio voice. Is that something that you get taught in broadcast courses? Good distinct enunciation, the calm tone. I tend to get overly excited. I tend to talk too quickly. My voice goes up in pitch as I'm getting excited about stuff. And, you know, that's just not a professional voice at all. But you two, you know, Rob, you've got, what, half a dozen PSAs on the radio, show promos, start your own show, how to advertise, things like that. You've got a couple of things as well, the punk rock stinger, the advertisement for the agriculture show, Val. So how do you get the voice, Rob?
I wouldn't necessarily say, from my perspective, it's something that you can be fully taught. It's something that you can be educated on, but mainly it's something that you learn through yourself, that you can listen back to your tracks and think, okay, maybe I don't hit that inflection on that word quite right. I'll remember that for next time. Or even as you mentioned, that your voice goes up too high and maybe it goes a little bit too fast. But there's always going to be people that are going to let you know. Like one of my program directors will let me know every now and then and just say, hey, you're saying this differently. I don't know if you're hearing it. but try it like this. When I was in college, when I was going through the programs, they do teach you how to read, how to enunciate better, because a lot of people will just go there with a small mouth and they'll try and mumble their way through. And, you know, and I hate to say it, but there are some people out there, one of whom, a good friend of mine, who went through for radio, and it wasn't the best voice for radio. And I hate saying that about him. He's such a nice guy. But it just didn't sound interested. You know, you can go on air and talk about anything unless you make it sound interesting, unless you use that voice and try and get people interested. It's just going to fall flat.
Yeah, I hear a fair bit of that in just regular conversations, people who just talk in a monotonous voice with no inflection at all, and that's just not very good for listening to on the radio. Val, how about you? Where did you get your voice?
Well, I think I was born with it. But what Rob said is true. They do, in college, try to help us enunciate better. I got raked over the coals by my announcing professor the other day for talking really fast in a few breaks for our air checks. And apparently I slur my R's sometimes, so I didn't realize that.
So at CKMS, our program coordinator, Jeff Steger, isn't going to come down on you for slurring your R's or for talking too fast or for talking in a high-pitched voice. I think this is one of the, charms of community radio, where we get all the different voices, you know, real voices from real people. CFMU's radio slogan used to be, radio with real people inside. Doesn't matter if you haven't got that professional voice, you know, come join the community radio station anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I want to go back to one more piece of music, at least another piece of music. Colin Fowley is from CHSR in Halifax, Halifax Radio, who provide us with a lot of programming. They send us the Earshot 20 every Thursday afternoon. Aaron Bondo is the station manager there, emailed us and said that Colin Fowley, who works at the station as well, has put together an album that is called Two Mend, and here is the first track off. That isn't actually going to be released until sometime in May. This is Colin Fowley, Two Mend.
You've been having trouble sleeping because your worries hiss and growl at night and hide behind the door. So here's my armor, you can take it off my chest, 'cause I don't think I need it anymore. When it hurts, you can't help but feel like you're broken, but I know just how far you can bend in the wind. And the moments you long for will wait while we're taking the time that is needed to mend. Why aren't the gods to whom they're praying the ones among us healing minds and bodies with just their mortal hands? It'll cost them much more than the tithes that they're taking when they sign off on those less than holy plans. When it hurts, you can't help but feel like you're broken, but I know just how far you can bend in the wind. And the end of the world won't come just because we're taking the time that is needed to mend. You're worn to the bone and you're tired of chasing the same damn thing you're always running from.
The devil you know is the devil we're facing. And we've got a few more angels yet to come. When it hurts, you can't help but feel like you're broken. But I know just how far you can bend in the wind. And the moments you long for will wait while we're taking the time that is needed to mend. And the end of the world won't come just because we're taking the time that is needed to mend.
That is Colin Fowley from Halifax Radio. In Halifax. Have on the web conference with me Val Shear and Rob Corain. Well, I seem to have lost my audio connection. I was trying to work with TalkBack a little bit earlier, and the TalkBack wasn't particularly successful in that it was broadcasting over the air as we were trying to speak while the music was playing. One of the difficulties in having home equipment to try to use as a broadcast studio. We've been talking about community radio and broadcast, commercial broadcasting courses and how they all fit together. Hoping to talk to Val and Rob about their plans at CKMS, what they're going to be doing with us, setting up things like other shows, doing some stings, doing some production work at the back. But I think we may have lost their audio, so... If that's the case, I think we'll go back to a little bit of music. Eye the Mountain is another local Radio Waterloo, or not Radio Waterloo, Waterloo Region band. They've got a new single out as well that was released in January called Coal Mine. So this is from Eye the Mountain in Waterloo.
Skies over coal mines keep me digging down. Oh, the blue skies cover my mind, put me in the ground. Oh, put me in the ground. But I found back in the city, there she lied next to me till she went away. Oh, how I would shiver. She lied next to me in the city. There she lied next to me till she went away.
That's Eye the Mountain with Coal Mine. Unfortunately, we lost our connection with Rob and Val for the remainder of the podcast, although the on-air broadcast seemed to proceed without any trouble. I'd like to thank Rob Kerwin and Val Shear for spending an hour with us talking about broadcast radio courses at Fanshawe Niagara College. And thanks to Jeff Steger, too, for dropping in and sitting quietly in the background. I'm going to leave you now with Weak-Sized Fish from New Brunswick. This is The Drift from their album called The Drift. CKMS Community Connections is a production of Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producers are Jeff Steger, James Jordan, and Dylan Bravener. CKMS Community Connections airs every Monday from 11 till noon and again on Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. We'll see you again next week.